Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, to 1 Kings chapter 11. I kind of wish I was in Luke 2 today, but we'll do that later on Christmas Day. When you find 1 Kings chapter 11, put a mark there and go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In the Old Testament, we have a number of examples that we think of as heroes of the faith. We think of Noah, we think of Moses, we think of David, we think of Samuel, we think of Saul, we think of Solomon. And almost every one of them has an example in their life of failure. Noah, for example, after the flood and after he had built the ark and the flood was concluded and they were off the ark, he got drunk in his tent one night and his son Ham did something very wicked that caused him to be cursed. Noah gave the opportunity for that by being drunk. Moses struck the rock twice. God said strike it one time. The rock was a picture of Christ. Christ only suffered for our sins once. Once for the sins of all, amen? Moses struck that rock twice, and God was displeased with that so much, he did not allow Moses to enter into the promised land. Moses stepped into eternity right before Israel went into the promised land. Of course, David had his sin with Bathsheba, and if you look at what happens, that was not the worst of it. The worst of it was that after that, Uriah the Hittite was murdered, and David was complicit, if not responsible for that. Joab caused it to happen, but David told him how to do it. Now we come to Solomon. Solomon had a great life. We've talked about his riches. We've talked about his wisdom. We've talked about the peace that he had in his time. He built the first temple, the most amazing of all the temples that's ever been built. There will be a temple in the millennial reign of Christ that will be more splendid. It's described in Ezekiel, but this temple that he built was amazing. All the things he had done. And then we come to chapter 11. And he sins. You say, well, if Noah and David and Solomon and Moses, if they failed, then it just must be inevitable. No, that's not God's plan. James chapter 1 explains the era in which we live. And if you look in verse 13, James chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with sin, with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Go to 1 Kings chapter 11. The very first verse is a sad verse. After all that God had done and all that Solomon had accomplished, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1 says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Let's pray. Father, I am unable, I'm incapable of causing folks to fear sin the way they should. But Lord, this morning I pray you'd accomplish a work here in this room by the Holy Spirit. If just one person here would take this message to heart and fear sin the way they should, and see sin the way they should, and flee from sin the way they should, it would be a successful day. Lord, help us today as we open the Word of God to see what you want us to see about sin and about how it affected this amazing man named Solomon, who had accomplished so much and who possessed so much and who was so wise and was so capable of expressing wisdom, and yet he committed a foolish, foolish error by disobeying you, and it cost him greatly. God, please help folks to understand sin has a price. Sin has a price, a horrible price. Guide us now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. As I stand here and speak to you in Kansas, there is a man, his name is Tony. He has been in a military prison since 2015. He's been there about 7 years. He's in his mid-30s by now. He will be there until he's in his 60s. I sat in a courtroom, a military courtroom on Fort Meade in Maryland. I sat there and listened to a judge sentence this man to 34 years in a military prison. And you may not know a lot about military prison. You probably think of it as being harsh, and it is. But the thing about military prison is not like the civilian system, and that is there's no time off for good behavior. When the judge says 34 years, that means 34 years to the day. Tony was a member of our church in Maryland. He and his wife and daughter came to our church. They joined our church. He was in the Army. And I'm not going to talk to you about the sin he committed, but you can understand that if it was something worthy of 34 years in prison, it must have been pretty bad. And that man sat in my house and ate meals with us, and we talked to him, and I guarantee you he did not ever think when he was committing this sin that it would result in the loss of 34 years of his life, the loss of freedom, the loss of his family. He did not know. No, let me say that differently. He should have known. The Bible declares it. He did not believe that his sin would cost him that greatly. I can tell you today, I have been preaching now for several decades, and I can tell you I've preached in service after service after service. And then as time went by, there were people that sat in those church services that did not believe that sin would cost them greatly. And now it has. There's somebody sitting here today, I have no doubt in my mind, you do not believe that sin will cost you greatly, and one day you'll find out that it does. God did not save us so we can sin. He saved us from our sin. It only is fitting. Solomon is the example of the wisest man that ever lived, the richest man that ever lived. You could argue the most powerful man, because in his day, Israel was at peace, and he was the ruler of that kingdom, and he's a picture of Christ in all those ways. But it's only fitting that the man that has all that going for him is also one that paid a high price for his sin, so that you and I could learn from it. And you're going to see Solomon in heaven. We would use the terminology in the New Testament. He's saved. He had a faith that saved him. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But here's a man that learned once again, just like Tony, just like other people I've known, just like some people here today, he learned the hard way the price of sin. Now watch what happens in this passage. We won't be long. This is going to go fast, so listen quickly, okay? God said in verse 2, the Lord said, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Don't we have a warning in the Bible about sin? Amen? Don't we see in the Bible the price that sin cost the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Don't we see in the Bible story after story? If you went and asked Noah, Noah, if you could do it again, would you do it over? No, I would not get drunk again like that. I wouldn't let that happen. If you could ask David, David, would you do what you did with Bathsheba and Uriah? No, I wouldn't do that. It cost his family horribly. If you would ask any of those folks in the Old Testament, or for that matter, just anybody in the Bible, Demas that forsook Paul and loved the world, I'm no doubt in my mind he's with the Lord today, and you'll see him someday. I doubt if the conversation will come up, but if it did, Demas would say, I wished I could do it again and not do it that way. Now, you and I have an opportunity because we're not there yet. It's too late for Tony. It's too late for Noah. It's too late for David. It's too late for Solomon. It's not too late for us. Amen? If we'll just believe what God said. You see, God warned Israel. God warned Solomon. If you do this, if you go in unto these women, I read you the list at verse 1. If you go into them, they will turn away your heart after their gods. And folks, that is the sin of sins, if you have to pick one, is to turn your back on God and worship something else. Exodus, you need to know who the Lord is, and He needs to be your Lord. Nothing else should replace Him or sit alongside Him. He ought to be our God, the only one that's our God, the one we trust in, the one we love, the one we serve, the one we live for, the one we obey. You say, Pastor, that sounds awfully hard. Just do it one day at a time. It's not that bad. Talking to someone before the service, and the subject came up. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. If I could, I'd send you all a text every hour. Read your Bible today. It'll make a difference. Amen? Joey came to me a while back and asked me some questions, and the answer is, read your Bible. It'll change your life. Say, Pastor, it's a big book. I know, just start somewhere. But Solomon, he had been warned, and if he had believed God, if he had believed God, he would not have done this. Surely, God said, they're going to turn your heart away to their gods. So watch what happens. These numbers are going to shock you. I don't understand them. Look at verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. Stop right there at that colon. That's 1,000 women. I'm not going to turn that into a joke right now. You'll think of one. But it's not really that funny. Now, here's a thought. When Solomon married his very first wife, then he married a second one. And then he married a third one. And I'm sure when he had one or two or three, he didn't really think it was going to turn into something big. 100? 100? 200? 300? 400? 500? 600? 700? Wow! Not to mention concubines. I hate to even say this. You know what that is. That's someone you're not married to. 1,000 women. Now look at this. This is easy to see. Doesn't sin start small? A little thing. It's okay. It won't hurt. Take a drink. It's just one drink. No, it starts small. The devil understands that. He doesn't have to make you a drug addict or an alcoholic or a pornographer on day one. He just needs to get you started. Because you see, sin is captivating. One leads to two, leads to 10, leads to 50, leads to 700, 1,000. I guarantee you, as a born-again Christian, you do have one thing going for you that Solomon did not. The Spirit of God dwells in you full time. And that'll make a big difference. But It shocks me how wicked a Christian can be when they let the devil have a little bit of room in their life. A little bit of room. Because one sin becomes two, becomes 50, becomes 100. That's why we are so adamant about trying to keep our young people away from the world. Because the young people in the world, all they know is sin. They don't know God, and they don't hear, a few of them may, but by and large they don't. I know, I lived in that in a situation like that when I was a teenager, and I remember real well. I went to church, my parents took me to church, and my parents read the Bible and prayed, and I had everything going for me, but there were some young people that led me astray. And by the time I got into college, there's no other way to say it, I was backslidden. And God got my attention and got things set straight. I didn't deserve that, but God's good. Sin is progressive. It starts small and it gets big. But it gets worse. Look what happens. In verse 4, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Now watch this. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the son of the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. What started out small has now become enormous. You say, well, it's not that bad. He's just trying to appease these wives. Folks, you cannot appease sin. I could take time, and I won't do it today, but you could look at each of these gods, Ashtaroth, Chemosh, Molech. One of these gods, and I forget which one it is, I think it was Molech, but it's one of them where people that worshiped that god would sacrifice their children to that god. They say, well, Pastor, I'd never get that wicked. That's what Solomon would have said too. You see, once you start down the path, you might never turn back. Once you get going, it just gets worse and worse and worse. It's passed along. These idols affected his children. Children were sacrificed to them in some cases. Solomon's worship is now compromised. And the thing is, remember, this man's the king. The nation is watching him. And they see, hey, Solomon built an idol to a false god. Hey, Solomon built a grove to another false god. Hey, and folks, don't you know sin affects other people? Do you understand people are watching you? Now, you know, we always think about, well, they'll never see my sin. Let's look at it a different way. Do they see your holiness? Did they see you come to church this morning? They did, amen? I think of folks that don't go to church, and if their neighbors know that they're churchgoers, they see that sin. The younger people here, oh, the temptations of youth. They're around other young people that use foul language. Do you, perhaps as a young person, amuse them by using it yourself? They tell funny, dirty, immoral jokes and you laugh at them, or they listen to wicked things and you listen with them. Sin, your sin affects other people. I would rather think about it as having our righteousness affect other people. Amen? Let people see God's grace and love and work in your life. But folks, as someone said, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony, and one or two moments to destroy it. I hope people are affected the right way by you. But that's really not as bad as the last thing I'm going to show you. Sin is progressive. It starts small and gets big. Sin is passed along. It affects those around us, especially those we love. But here is the worst of all. Sin has a price. And that price is much more than you want to pay. God deals with sin. Look at verse 9. This is the worst than anything else I've said already. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. We saw those two times. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. That's just as simple as it gets. You know what he said? The Bible says God was angry because he told Solomon what to do, and Solomon said, "No, God, I won't do that." And you say, "Well, I'd never point my finger in God's face and say, I won't do that." It doesn't matter if you point your finger or not. When you disobey God, you know better. Amen? Now, I like to be an encouraging pastor, and I like to tell you that the Lord's good and he's going to take care of you, and I know all that is true. But I also know that sin has a horrible, destructive price. And that's what I'm trying to warn you about today. You see, there was the anger of the Lord in verse 9. And in verse 10, there was Solomon's disobedience which brought that anger. But look at verse 11. This gets even worse. Wherefore, the Lord said unto Solomon, this is so sad, "For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend," that means take, "the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." It's a man named Jeroboam, by the way. "Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." Now, it goes downhill from here. We're going to look at the rest of Solomon's life, and there's not a lot more to see. But then we'll probably take just enough time to look at his son, Rehoboam. Now, Solomon had great hopes for his son. He would have liked to have passed his son the riches and the kingdom and the 12 tribes of Israel to lead, and the wisdom that Solomon had. And if you want to read Solomon's wisdom sometime, and the hopes that Solomon had for his son, read the book of Proverbs. He says, "My son." And he talks to, I think Rehoboam is a target of that book. But here's what's interesting, and we won't get into the details, but Rehoboam immediately made a huge foolish mistake. And 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel turned their back on him and followed a man named Jeroboam. We'll talk about that some other time. Would it bother you if God was angry with you? I hope it would. Would it bother you if God said, "Because you won't listen to me, I'm going to have to chasten you"? The Bible says in Hebrews, "Whosoever he loveth, he chasteneth." What's the answer? What's the hope? How can we escape all this? We were in Thailand, and they had a snake show. And they had poisonous snakes in the snake show. And at the beginning of the snake show, they had some bleachers, and there was a circle about 20 feet in diameter, and around the circle there was a brick wall about that high. Last time I checked, a snake can crawl above a brick wall 8 inches high. And this fella came out and he said, "Now we're going to do the snake show for you, and we got these two guys and they're trained, and here's what they're going to do." And he joked around a little bit, and my kids were all sitting on the front row. And we were a couple of rows behind them. And there were some other people in the front row, and the back half of the bleachers were empty. And this fellow walked out with a box. And he tipped that box over, and about a half a dozen snakes fell out and began to crawl. You never saw people move so fast in your entire life. All of a sudden, the first five rows of bleachers were empty. My kids were behind me. That's because they got some smarts. And they realize, Those snakes are dangerous. They can bite. They can kill you. I'm getting away from that. Do you know why? We read it back in James. You know why people allow sin into their life? Because they don't believe it when God says it's dangerous. It's interesting. Quite often we'll witness to somebody, and the very first verse we might use might be Romans chapter 3, the wages of sin is death. And we'll tell them, the wages of sin is death, and death and hell are cast into a lake of fire. And then we'll show them how Christ died to pay for their sins and how they need to receive Christ and be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But folks, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death for the lost person, but it doesn't suddenly become life when you get saved. The wages of sin is still death. I told you the story of the man in Utah that his name was Angel. 28, 29 years old, he got saved. But before he got saved, he was in a bad car wreck because he was drunk and he damaged his brain. He lived with his mother. He couldn't remember things from day to day. And, you know, when he got saved, it didn't change his brain. He was still brain damaged. Sin brings death. Sin doesn't bring good things into your life. That's what God said. I'm not as wise as Solomon was. I'm not as rich as Solomon was. I'm not as powerful as Solomon was. But I hope I believe God enough. I hope you believe God enough to understand sin has a price. And you find somebody in the Bible that sinned and didn't pay the price, you let me know. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about here and now in this earth. Folks, sin is something we should flee from. It's Christmas time. I'll tell you a story and we'll be done. Some of you have heard this. Many of you may. I don't know. A fellow lived out in the country. Big snowstorm came. 2 or 3 feet of snow. And they came on the radio and they said, we cannot collect garbage because the snow's so deep the trash truck can't get through. And this fella had a bunch of garbage from his Christmas dinner. He had turkey carcass and he had leftovers and he had a bunch of other wrapping paper and junk like that. And he didn't know what to do with it and he didn't want to leave it sitting around his house because it smelled bad. And he got an idea. He got the biggest box from his Christmas presents and he put all the garbage in the box. And then he wrapped the box with all the pretty paper and put a bow on it and took it out and set it by the road. And somebody drove along and said, look at that wrapping paper. Look at that bow. What a big box. And they picked that box up and put it in the trunk of their car and drove off. And you think to yourself, they got what they deserved. They got home and found a turkey carcass and a bunch of empty cans and some wrapping paper and some coffee grounds and junk like that. And they should know better than to sin. Yeah, we should too. That's what the devil does. He takes that garbage, which is what sin is, and he wraps it up real nice and he puts it out there in front of you and says, look at this. The wages of sin is death, folks. Solomon was no exception. David was no exception. Noah was no exception. Tony was no exception. Why do we think we'd be any different? Amen? Now, let's go back to James 1. I'll read it and we're done. We've read it once already, but I want you to hear this one more time. Verse 14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Folks, stay away from it. Amen? Solomon should have stopped with one wife. He should have listened to the Lord, and none of that would have happened. Be careful what you want. Lust, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is conceived, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth, verse 15, death. Not just in lost folks, in you and I. I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about the suffering that sin brings. Let's all stand and pray.